I'm still taking the fact that you're 90. Did you have any serious health problems along the way?
The answer is no. At one point, I developed an infection, developed sepsis, and could easily have died. I've had one bout of pneumonia, but no, the answer is no.
Basically not.
Not.
And you don't know if that gene runs in your family or not.
Well, I have to think it must. My sister's 96.
Okay.
This 90-year-old went out to her husband's 100th birthday. They still play bridge. They still live independently. They still drive in their neighborhood. And this 90-year-old went out to his 100-year-old brother-in-law's birthday party.
So it makes you feel real young, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And my oldest sister, who was 12 years older than I am, was at a civic club meeting in Los Angeles late in the afternoon and was crossing the street and a car hit her and killed her.
Mm.
But she was still active at 89 in civic clubs in Los Angeles.
Wow. Let me bring in this birthday party that you threw when you were 90 years old.
It was a replica of the one I did when I was 80. I founded a new society.
What is it?
The Nonagenarian Society. If you looked up the definition of nonagenarian, it's 90 to 99.
So you threw a party.
The nonagenarian part was just sort of incidental. Threw a party, hired Willie Nelson, who I view as a folk philosopher, and 800 people paid $500 apiece to come to the party. They got 100% deduction because all those funds went to cancer research. I paid for all the party. So we raised a little bit more than I spent.
Guests, including you, were Dick Sias?
Well, now you're talking about the nonagenarian group now.
Yes.
People I could remember, Dick Sias, he's over 90, Joseph Reedy, Joe McClendon, Paul Odom,
June Perry,
Bill Perry. Those are just the ones I could remember. There were no doubt people there overnight. So we're going to expand the nonagenarian society and have two meetings a year, one at the OMRF and one at Stevenson Cancer Center with a lecture by a cancer researcher, because I can't think of a group that's a better planned giving prospect than someone over 90.
That's fun. Well, they had a ball, didn't you? Over about 800
yep.
at the National Cowboy and Western Museum.
Yep.
Things that go on around us, April 19th, 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing, 168 people lose their lives. Tell us about that day and where you were.
I was on the second floor where my office was. And I was looking out the window. The explosion happened, and I watched that building shake. And
when you say that building?
What was then the Liberty Building.
Okay.
Just standing in my window looking out. And my reaction was, I can't remember the Osama. He was Indonesian, had purchased, with a lot of publicity about what he can do, the Skirvin Hotel. He had been by it. I'd gotten acquainted with him. He made some very improbable loan applications that were fraudulent on their face. And I thought, that's just blown his building up. He's figured out how to get his money out.
Right.
That was my first reaction.
Yeah.
Very quickly discovered that was not the case.
Yeah. Do you remember as the day went on?
Oh, somber for weeks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Isn't it? Devastating. But I have to give credit to Oklahoma City. It, as I, in my life, took advantage of opportunities, it totally became opportunistic. And that was the beginning of the rebuilding of Oklahoma City.
Your MAPS program.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without that, I don't think anything would have happened. Or not nearly as much.
We've been talking about your successes, and we're all human. People will think, listening, am I the only one who fails? Did you ever have a failure and say, you know what, it was a good thing I had that failure because I learned from it?
Sure had failures. My failure that should have been my greatest success was my failure. The engineer who originally designed the first Rita pump, which is downhole pump, and is a major, major asset of Baker Hughes, the submersible pump, the man who designed that pump, we hired him. He came to Shawnee with a pump company, not a submersible pump, Worthington Pump. And we formed a company and hired this engineer and designed the third generation of submersible pumps, most advanced in the world. We'd built a plant. We were in production. We even had installations in Russia. It should have been a multi-billion dollar company. But 1982 came. Timing is everything. And we were able to sell it to Baker Hughes, which means they eliminated the competitor for enough to get our money out. which was lucky to do that. Timing is so vital. You can have the finest product, but timing is vital.
You said 82 came, meaning?
The collapse in the oil industry.
Okay.
Overnight, an oil well was worth nothing. Mm-hmm. So timing is everything. But we're talking about failures.
Ones that you said, if that hadn't happened to me, then I wouldn't have this positive that came out of it.
I don't know that anything positive came out of that experience, except that it did tell me that you better see future events like today. Should we be out building brick-and-mortar branches as we see all this? You know, timing is everything. The other story is, because banking really did not use technology effectively, my Thunderbird Management Company designed some of the most effective software for bank budgeting in the country and bank accounting. We tried to sell it. We got one or two buyers, but we couldn't sell it. Much inferior software was developed and became broadly accepted. So I also learned it's not the quality of the product you have, it's your ability to sell it. Probably my biggest failure is thinking that I can do what others have the technical skill to do that I don't have. And I've had a couple of failures in that, which taught me, surround yourself with people that know what they're about, know what they're doing.
So you're not afraid to sit in this room thinking everybody in this room is smarter than me.
Oh, I'd prefer it.
Yeah.